This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And here's a question. When was the last time somebody really enjoyed being a leader of the House or the Senate? Reveled in the power and politics of being majority leader of the Senate or Speaker of the House of Representatives? You might have to go back to 1983. And this guy, who seemed to be having the time of his life.
You know, you look a little like Tip O'Neill.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people say that. Really, I'm a better-looking fellow than he is.
Tip O'Neill, Speaker of the House of Representatives, Congressman from Massachusetts, on the TV sitcom Cheers, February 17th, 1983. O'Neill's gusto for his job and his prestige and charisma made him a pop culture figure, even at a time when the 80s Congress was the butt of jokes.
What were you saying last week about that do-nothing Congress down there in D.C.?
They're a bunch of clowns.
Hey, you think so, huh?
Yeah, you can take the average guy off the street and you can do a better job.
Nah.
Sure. This bozo right here could probably be a better congressman than them.
Oh, yeah?
You're out of work, too, huh?
No, I'm a Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Can you imagine a leader in the Congress today getting a laugh like that? Boehner, Reed, cameos on House of Cards, Game of Thrones, perhaps? Not likely. This hour, a look at the lost prestige and troubled system of leadership in the House and Senate. Also, we see a 21st century Cuban missile crisis brewing in the Panama Canal, but only North Korea may have to duck and cover this time. Also, the albums of summer. We look at the summer music of 1993, a summer of musical nirvana in more ways than one. Thinking in the box there, I'd say. But first, another day, another cliffhanger in the U.S. Senate. A deal patched together to allow up and down votes on some long-stalled presidential appointments. The White House had to deliver a compromise on two of its appointments to the National Labor Relations Board, a popular whipping boy for Republicans. And Republican John McCain delivered some Republican votes in a deal that ends up preserving the filibuster. It all happened yesterday under a Democratic threat to change Senate rules by majority party line vote and actually gut the 60-vote filibuster rule. You know, the old nuclear option. Didn't happen. Deal averted. The disaster, the nuclear option. Here's Majority Leader Harry Reid in remarks yesterday on Capitol Hill.
I hope that everyone learned the lesson last night, that it sure helps to sit down and talk to each other.
Not exactly the sound of a powerful bull charging ahead there in the Senate. And what of the Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, John Boehner?
My job is to do everything I can to facilitate a process for solving this problem. And that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Speaker of the House, maybe he's facilitator of the House, John Boehner, talking last week cagily about immigration reform, a real challenge for the House of Representatives. Let's bring in Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick and Jennifer Senior, who recently profiled Representative Boehner for New York Magazine. Todd and Jennifer, welcome.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
So, Todd, you know, is it my impression? I mean, both of you can, leave a boot print on my face if you like. But it seems to me this whole leadership system in the House and Senate is in a state of extraordinary dysfunction. Harry Reid, is he having any fun up there? Is there any power reflected in what happened yesterday? Am I wrong here, Todd?
Well, you know, John, the Senate isn't really designed for leaders to have an extraordinary amount of power. Ever since the leadership of a guy who loved being leader, Lyndon Johnson, we expect Senate leaders to have a lot of power, and they do have more than they used to. But with the 60-vote threshold, even though, as we all know, that's used a lot more than it used to, you know, Harry Reid doesn't have a gavel, and neither does Mitch McConnell, not symbolically, not figuratively, not at all. And there's a reason for that, because people like John McCain can, if they can get the support of enough people, just go around them. McCain did it this week. McCain helped do it in 2005 with the Gang of 14. Same deal. They didn't ask for permission. They just went around him, and with enough votes, you can do it. The House is a very different place in that way.
Well, am I wrong in saying that the way the Senate works, and you've just described it there, it's actually the minority leader under the 60-vote rule who has more power, because he's more able, or she is more able, to actually shut things down than the majority leader is to get things done?
The minority leader has more power to slow things down and would want to if his or her party isn't in the White House, of course, to block legislation. But don't forget about the enormous power that Harry Reid, as leader, has to set the agenda. He decides which bills come. He decides when. He decides in what order. And increasingly, to the consternation of Republicans, decides how many amendments and on what. Part of the nuclear option fight is Harry Reid's fault. Don't fool yourself to think it's all obstruction from Mitch McConnell and the other Republicans. Part of it does come from Harry Reid, and that is a very strong hand that he has, setting the agenda, what, where, and when.
All right, so he can write the Senate's dance card, even if he can't deliver votes in the way that Lyndon Johnson used to. That's the story in the Senate. Jennifer Senior, John Boehner, it seems to me, is really under a pretty significant test on immigration reform here. Can he deliver something that it would seem from the 2012 election the Republicans really need here? Jennifer?
They need it. I don't think enough of them. I mean, if you ask me, I don't think that they're going to deliver it. I think that too many of them are not thinking long term. They're thinking short term. And in their own districts, not only does immigration not matter much, but they are terribly afraid in many, many cases of having somebody challenge them from the right, who would be much more anti-immigration than they are. And that, to me, I think they're going to weigh their own self-interest against the party's, you know, larger interest. And I mean, who do you think is going to win that one?
Is Boehner in that situation? I mean, is he in a vulnerable district in the sense that someone could challenge him from the right if he advocates immigration reform?
Well, it's interesting. It's doubtful. I mean, people really like him in his district, and he's in a very safe district, as many of these people are. But it's funny, the Club for Growth and, you know, American Heritage for Action Committee, I guess it is, they are these kind of right-wing groups that are, or these conservative groups, I should say, that are now in the business of running challengers to lots of Boehner's brain trust. I mean, they'll do it to, like, his best friends if they don't do it to him. So, I mean, he's slowly but surely going to lose his allies in Congress if he's not careful. I mean, I can isolate a couple of them who are already facing challenges, and it's not pretty.
And here you've characterized the John Boehner, Speaker of the House, under threat, not a Sam Rayburn kind of character who really pretty much holds all the cards. And of course, the House rules are very different today than they were in Sam Rayburn's time. But is John Boehner, based on your experience and your reporting, Jennifer Senior, having any fun?
No. I mean, if you ask all of his allies, again, I mean, it's so unequivocal. If you ask any of his allies, they will say that they think he's got the hardest job. I mean, they'll sort of acknowledge that Obama has the hardest job in Washington, sure, but they'll sort of say that probably Boehner has the least pleasant one. He's facing, it's when you're facing opposition from the other party, you sort of understand it, you know where it's coming from. It doesn't feel like a betrayal. When opposition is kind of surging up from within your own ranks, it's really a drag. And that's what's going on right now.
Well, to both of you, then, it seems to me from Tom Daschle to Harry Reid and from, you know, the successor to Tip O'Neill, Jim Wright of Texas, all the way to John Boehner, we've had essentially failed majority leaderships and dubious speakerships in all cases, ending badly, not projecting the kind of power that was intended by the designers of this congressional system. Is it in flames right now, Todd Zwillick?
I think that's really, boy, John, that's a really tough question and an interesting one to contemplate. I'm gonna go against you and with one speaker and say Nancy Pelosi, judged around the Capitol, to have been a highly successful speaker. Things like, not that all these things became law. Climate change did not become law. Nancy Pelosi's ability to pass it in a House and among Democrats that didn't want to take that vote, her whipping ability was remarkable. The Affordable Care Act, which is law and probably will be a lot more popular 10 years from now than it is now, a remarkable legislative achievement, which Nancy Pelosi deserves an extraordinary amount of credit for. And around the Capitol, even among Republicans in private moments, she is respected and feared. So Nancy Pelosi, I think, will go down as a successful speaker. John Boehner is not in danger of losing in his district. John Boehner is in danger of losing his speakership if he goes too far with things like fiscal deals and immigration.
Jennifer, would people make an argument that as effective as Pelosi was in the circumstances of having the majority that she had and the Senate behind her as well and the presidency, that she should have accomplished more in an ideal speakership sort of scenario?
I doubt that. I think passing Obama's healthcare plan was pretty hard. I mean, and I think that, you know, I opened my piece this week with the Club for Growth head, and the Club for Growth, as I said, is a very conservative group, expressing his admiration for her and saying that she was willing to lose her speakership over it, right? Because, I mean, getting that thing passed didn't turn out to be particularly popular. They lost the majority. And she did it. And I think that takes a lot of courage. And I think that the difference between her temperamentally and somebody like John Boehner is that she's a lot of these things that speakers should be. She's got a vision. She's an ideologue. She's kind of inspirational when she speaks. She can be a kneecapper when she wants to be. She can be really tough.
All right. Well, then is the consensus here, despite my concern about the system itself, that it's really much more dependent on the character in that position of leadership than it is the system at this point? And eventually we'll find a majority leader and another speaker who has the kind of power that we've been talking about. Todd first and then Jennifer.
John, Tip O'Neill, Sam Rayburn, the speakers that you sort of revel in the past who were effective leaders, presided over a House that wasn't divided, over a national electorate that was extremely Democratic. The problem today, I think, is not with the quality of their leadership. It is the division among the electorate and in the country, and the division in the House and Senate, bordering at times on ungovernable. That's the issue.
Final thought, Jennifer?
I agree with that, and I think also Boehner has a Twitter problem. He's got a conservative PAC problem, where if people oppose him, they become folk heroes. They're like the Rand. It's the Rand Paul phenomenon, and that makes it very hard in this day and age to lead.
Jennifer Senior, a writer for New York Magazine. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks to both of you.
Pleasure, John.
Thank you.